Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we have Nate Burleson. He hosts, one of the hosts of Good Morning Football. He played in the NFL for the Seahawks, the Vikings, the Lions. Really fun dude. Really great interview. We also have a hot seat, cool throne, guys on chicks, and a lot to talk about. But before we get to all of that, hey guys, it's Big Cat and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern for the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1. Every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com. Okay, let's go.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Ball School Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by SeatGeek. Today is Wednesday, September 19th. I'm not going to do what you think I'm going to do.
And the Bears are back. The Bears are back. No, here's the deal. The Bears are legit.
They are. 500 for the first time since 2014.
Yeah.
You got to celebrate the small things
in
life.
Well, they start every season 500, right?
Well, no, I think you have to establish, it's like, are you born or are you zero?
You start the season 0-0.
So you're nothing. You have no winning percentage whatsoever. And for first time since 2014, baby.
Yeah.
Back.
I'm proud of you. And here's the thing.
Thank you. I played really hard.
No, you were the one, man. You were the one that made it happen last night. I watched part of the game, and I'm telling you, this team is a Super Bowl contender. I'm dead serious.
No, stop. Shut up.
That defense. You're not telling me that defense.
I mean,
The defense is Super Bowl caliber. You know that they are, too. Like, Khalil Mack, that guy, in addition to what they had in Roquan, is the real deal.
Yes.
He's absolutely the real deal.
Speed.
And with that offense they have in place, they've got two great running backs, a great quarterback, good wide receivers, a great offensive line.
Stop.
I mean, you stop me if I'm saying anything wrong.
No, I'm not.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
You stop. No, so really, after the game, I was like, if Mitch can play, like, just average, that's a Super Bowl team. And then I took a shower, and I got out of the shower, and I said, you know what? NFC Championship. Let's just settle with that.
But
the thing is, you never want to win the Super Bowl the first year that the team's together. You want to go through the tough days, and then the next year you build, because then
as a Capitals fan, I can tell you you're accurate. Yeah.
Then the DVD is a lot more compelling because they're like, hey, we were so close, we could taste it in 2018.
You got something to build on.
2019 was our year.
Right now, you don't have anything to build on,
right?
So this is the build on year, but I think the foundation is already strong enough from the first two games. You guys are going through your building process right now. You're winning while you're building, which is tough to do. And in that division, if you're going to do it, this is the year. Aaron Rodgers is hurt. Kirk Cousins is a nerd.
Yep.
Matt Patricia lost the locker room.
Yep.
This is your
year to win
that division. You're going to get home field advantage, and nobody is coming
like
into Chicago beating you guys in Soldier Field in January.
Did I not say you don't lose on Urlacher night?
You don't.
The crowd was fucking electric.
I mean, I'm going to extrapolate
ceremony.
A little bit.
Yeah, that they didn't show.
Those
fucking assholes.
This is Urlacher season
for
you guys. So you're doing it for Brian.
Okay. I appreciate everything you did there.
Bears,
I know what you're doing.
I'm being serious.
I'm.
Should we put a future on it?
Yeah, Hank.
Will. I will
no,
as well.
We're not talking to you.
Mitch, he's football young. We're going to just keep saying that. That's the new saying. That shout out Tom Fornelli, who had to talk me off the ledge last night via text message after the second interception that Mitch threw.
Mm-hmm.
And I also,
it's 2001 Tom Brady.
Well, you know what it was? I was really down because I forgot that Seattle has both the Griffins, and I thought Mitch got intercepted by the guy with one hand twice.
Yeah.
And then I was rock bottom, but then I was like, wait, nope, they have both the Griffins, so we're good.
He's young. He's football young. Mm-hmm. The problem is he's going to be compared to Patrick Mahomes, who is the greatest quarterback of all time.
Listen, nobody's comparing to Patrick Mahomes.
Well, because they're the same draft class, dude.
That always happens.
Yeah. That always happens. They had the graphic. They're like Deshaun Watson, Mitch Trubisky, Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes is so much better. I don't think anybody's going to be comparing.
Because Mitch is football young.
He is football young.
But I have now, a question for you.
Yeah?
I have a question for you. But we talked about this on Sunday.
Yeah?
The Bills, the Cardinals, throw them out. They are the two teams that you're like, that team is that is not going to turn around at all. Do the Seahawks qualify for that?
Well, I mean, the bright spot for the Seahawks so far is their punter. So if that's what we're talking about.
Electric.
And by the way, their punter is awesome.
So
Michael
awesome.
Dixon.
But no, seriously, because I obviously you have Pete Carroll, great coach. Russell Wilson is a great quarterback. But that team feels like they're just like – it's like skeleton duty.
Yeah.
It's just there's no one left. Earl Thomas is out there making plays, and you're like, okay, and then who else? And then their offensive line
– still sucks.
Is, and they have weird receiver – Doug Baldwin, I think, is hurt.
Nobody
Brandon
at receiver.
Marshall's out
yeah.
there. It's like, what is going on?
Yeah, no, I think the Seahawks are probably – they're not going to lose. The thing is they get to play the Cardinals twice.
True.
So they're going to pad their stats on those games a little bit. This is a major – like, officially the window has shut – on the Seattle Seahawks. I'm ready to declare window closed.
They're going to now have to remake themselves as an offensive team.
No more glory hole.
Yeah.
They're going to have to remake themselves as Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson's team.
And then 10 ghosts.
Yeah.
Is basically what they're playing with, except for Chris Carson, who's future all-pro running back.
Although Rashad Penny was getting more carries.
Chris Carson was tired in the second half. Carroll said that's why he benched him.
Shout out San Diego State, Rico.
Yeah. But But yeah, I think it's safe to say the Seahawks are done. I'm putting the PFT done. I'm hanging that around their neck right now.
I'm still
hashtag
gonna give
done or just done.
No, it's the done chain,
yeah.
Like the turnover chain.
Well,
the done chain.
I'm gonna
is
give
on
them,
that stupid Seahawk bird.
I'm gonna give them one more chance on Sunday against the Cowboys. It's gonna be my Do You Have Any Pride, Danny? If you don't know that video, watch it. It's the ultimate football guy when he pulls out the VHS and breaks it in front of his teams. Do You Have Any Pride, Danny?
Yeah.
We almost interviewed that guy for BVT. Fun fact.
This is a Do You Have Any Pride game for the Seahawks with the Cowboys coming to Seattle. Like, mm-hmm. if they have any bit of life, it will show up in this game. And if they don't, then I will then say that the team quit on Pete Carroll.
Here's a little spin zone for you for Mitch's interceptions, though.
Okay.
You always hear from football guys that you learn twice as much from an interception as you do from a touchdown pass.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mitch is like reaching genius levels right now.
Yeah.
So
he's got
there
it.
You go.
He did throw a touchdown pass left.
Okay.
Yep.
Across his body?
Yep.
You shouldn't do that.
Threw a touchdown pass
got
to
a lot
the left
to learn.
Side of the field. Not to brag.
Yeah. So in conclusion, the Bears, I have to, if I'm being honest and not just to troll you.
Yes.
I say that the Bears are, it's like them neck and neck with the Rams as being Super Bowl favorites.
Shut up. Shut up. No, I'm just happy to watch good football again. That's exciting.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, we have other stories we got to get to. We have Antonio Brown, the circus that is the Pittsburgh Steelers season. Antonio Brown was challenged by someone on Twitter saying, Big Ben made you, and he replied and said, well, if that's true, then trade me, and then didn't show up on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So the tweet in itself, I don't think was a big deal because he's just kind of dunking on a troll.
Yeah.
But then not showing up on Monday is kind of a big deal.
That's a weird way to dunk on a troll, though, is to be like, trade me. Instead of replying with, like, fuck you, you work as in, like, an accounting firm.
I think he was talking about a fantasy football. Like, trade me off your fantasy football team, dude.
Okay,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't want you on my team.
We always say Mike Tomlin, he's a player's coach, and he's liable to lose a locker room this year. He's literally losing his locker room.
He's got nothing.
He's got Bell's gone.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown's not showing up for work.
Not only is Le'Veon Bell gone, but they had the most amazing thing that happens in a locker room. The guys that never speak out, the guys that never trash anyone, the offensive line, all in unison were like, fuck Le'Veon Bell.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly everything is just kind of up in the air. Big Ben had the whole, you know, we talked about it, I think on Monday, the whole Mason Rudolph thing at the beginning of the training camp. Tomlin, they're getting blown out. They don't play defense, not Steeler football. They have to go on Monday night and play Fitzmagic.
Yeah.
I actually, like, this will be crazy because it's kind of like when the Pope dies, like when the Steelers fire a coach. They put up the white smoke because it just doesn't happen.
That's actually just Le'Veon Bell just blazing up a fat.
Yeah, well, Martavis Bryant isn't on the team anymore.
Yeah, so that's what the white smoke was. I was doing a little, like, look back through history, a little oral history with myself.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out Steve Bannon. And I was saying, okay, who killed these Pittsburgh Steelers? Was it the Browns? Did the Browns destroy them?
I know the answer to
this. Was it Patrick Mahomes?
Nope.
Was it the Washington Capitals? No. Blake Bortles?
Nope.
Destroyed the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Nope.
By beating them twice last year in their own backyard?
The death of the Steelers was the surviving the ground rule. That was it. If they had beaten the Patriots, the Jesse James touchdown, mm-hmm. if they had beaten the Patriots in that game, it's like a totally different path they take because then they have home field advantage, all that shit. That one play.
They still would have lost.
They probably still would have lost, but that one play changed the whole mojo because it was like that was their game. They were going to do it.
I mean, they had home field against the Jaguars.
Right.
Blake still sailed his boat ass up there and whooped the shit out of them.
But I'm just saying that was the moment where it kind of crushed them. Like, oh, if you can't even beat the Patriots, the Steelers figured that out. They're like, why do we even have to try against the Jaguars?
Okay,
we're going to lose anyway.
Let's embrace debate. You tell us who killed Pittsburgh.
That play. Well, and then all the fan reactions.
Blake beat him earlier in the year, too.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
the boat.
Yeah.
He's going to win FedEx Ground Player of the Year.
I think we're reaching people forget that territory with James Conner. The mm-hmm. running back, mm-hmm. people forget that he went to Pittsburgh and he played in that stadium.
Yes, he did. Yeah, on that terrible grass.
People don't talk about that.
But yeah, I don't know what's going on with the Steelers. I feel like their season is on the brink, and there's nothing worse than having to go and face a hot Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Mm-hmm.
That actually is the scariest thing in the world, a hot Ryan Fitzpatrick. You don't know when he's going to cool down, but as of right now, you do not want to face a hot.
But he's hot right now.
DeSean Jackson proved our point that you have to keep riding Ryan Fitzpatrick. He said that you have to ride the hot hand. Mm-hmm. That is a full-blown quarterback controversy as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and I mean, Fitzpatrick was smart to keep feeding DeSean Jackson because DeSean's the guy that's going to go out in the media and say who he wants. He's not going to be shy about it.
Well,
so, like, you give DeSean Jackson stats, and he will love the shit out of you for forever.
The other thing is Ryan Fitzpatrick is the perfect quarterback controversy guy because he's a controversy in himself, but he will always figure it out because he'll suck at some point and throw terrible interceptions, and then controversy ended. So he starts and ends them all himself.
Well, he was good that last year that he was starting on the Jets until the playoffs when he had that four interception game.
Yeah.
And then he came out the next year and it was in his head.
He reminds
himself.
He's
too smart. Since he was a Harvard guy, he's got such a great memory. He has a hard time forgetting his mistakes.
Yes.
So as long as he's not making mistakes, he's good. But once there's like a little crack in that armor, then it's just like the floodgates are open.
Yes, exactly. All right, so the other story we got to get to before we start our hot seat cool throne, Urban Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
Urban Meyer is doing, so his 3-game suspension is up. He immediately went to Tom Rinaldi. He had a press conference.
Crazy eyes, Tom Rinaldi.
He is doing the I'm sorry and please let me coach again tour, but he's doing it worse than anyone has ever done it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, actually can't be worse. It's a verbal meme, foot in mouth. Urban Meyer's the foot and the mouth.
Yeah.
And he's just walking around saying the wrong thing. It's so funny because he actually, all his answers should just, instead of giving answers to all these questions, he should just be like, can I please go coach football again? Because that's really all he's doing. He's like, it's a little kid
I don't want to be here.
Getting reprimanded, and it's like, you got to say you're sorry. It's like, all right, sorry, Mom. Can I now go back outside and skateboard?
Yeah, sorry,
like, you're
for
not
what?
Actually sorry.
Right. Sorry for what, Urban?
Sorry,
And every time he like gives an interview or releases a statement, he then has to release another statement after that. I think we're down like in the Russian nesting doll of like the sixth statement mm-hmm. that he's released explaining why his previous statement was inadequate.
Right.
Where it's actually a masterstroke in PR where you forget what he was apologizing for in the first place because now he's just like clarifying some
He's apologizing stuff. For apologies that went wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and when Rinaldi was asking him, they're like, what are you most sorry about? He's just like, I'm sorry. I'm just sorry.
He's doing the Rick Pitino.
About what, Urban? And he's like, it actually goes to serve his point that he's got a terrible memory
mm-hmm.
because he apologizes, but then he forgets what he has to apologize for.
Yes.
So I believe Urban. And then when they were asking what's the difference between telling a lie and then getting up there and misstating the facts, and he couldn't really explain it. He's like, I'm sorry for not knowing the answer to your question, Tom.
He's doing the Rick Pitino. He's just apologizing, and then you're like, for what? He's like, well, I didn't do anything wrong, but I'm apologizing. So he had also a Rick Pitino by saying, I've been accused of helping players too much and giving them too many opportunities. That's an accusation I accept. Wow. That's big of Urban. Hey, guess what, guys? Guilty as charged. He trusts people too much.
He'll support you.
Yes.
If
he'll
you fuck up,
he'll support you all
back.
The way up until a felony arrest.
Yeah.
So Jesus guilty as charged.
He's really bad at this whole thing. I mean, he's one of those coaches where when he's not actively on the sidelines coaching, he's so boring that I have no idea how anybody gets fired up to play for him.
Yeah.
He must be just like a totally different guy when he's out there on the field.
I think he simply is like, hey, go out there and play and then you'll make millions of dollars in the NFL.
And he's mastered that's just telling
speech.
Them that.
Yeah. He also had a comment on the accusation that he deleted text messages, saying, "I have never deleted a text message, and I've never changed a setting on my phone. I would never do that. I don't even know how to change a setting on my phone."
No. Night mode? What's night mode?
He's the asshole sitting in a movie theater with his phone going off.
He didn't say that he didn't delete him. He just said the report found out that they couldn't figure out if he did or not. Like, he didn't say that he didn't delete them. He's just like, and according to the report, they don't know if I did or not.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was Aaron Hernandez's coach, and Aaron Hernandez was pretty bad at destroying phones as well.
Yes.
So,
and he's
like
going
teacher,
with,
like student.
And he's going with the Shelly. His wife, Shelly, did not tell him about the text messages, even though they spoke at length about the first time the situation happened in 2010. Mm-hmm. And Urban does not want to definitively say there was domestic abuse. He will leave that up to the experts. He also said that.
The experts. I'm not going to sit here and speculate what my wife may or may not have told me. I'll leave that up to the experts on listening to your wife talk.
Please let me go.
Which I am not.
Yeah, please let me go back to coaching football.
To your point about him being the asshole in the movie theater that doesn't turn his phone off, he's absolutely the guy that hasn't figured out how to like disable the ding for text messages.
Yep.
So he's just like in public getting texts left and right.
Yeah. Left and right, dinging, ding, 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 because he doesn't know how to change any settings.
For some reason, every Uber driver I've ever had has a phone that just like sends them the whoop.
Also, little credit to Ohio State fans, because I know there's some people that think that we're trashing Ohio State. I think Ohio State fans have actually handled this pretty well. I don't see that many people defending him anymore. They're more along the lines of, yeah, he's a scumbag, but he wins football games, which is,
realistic.
If you admit that, then it's at least you're saying, hey, cards on the table. This guy's a terrible guy, but he does win football games. Like, okay, we're all being honest here. We're not going to pretend that Urban Meyer magically never talked about a text message about his assistant coach with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So at least most of the Ohio State fans are recognizing the fact that this guy's a pretty bad guy. And there's only a few people out there who are still being like, no, everything Urban said is checked out. Yeah. He trusts people too much. He never talks about text messages with his wife, even though they talked about the situation in 2010. He doesn't change his settings. And, yeah, he's got memory loss.
I don't know what a text message is. I've never owned a phone. I don't know what communicate. Like, you talk. I've never communicated with somebody when I can't yell at them in their face. What's all this? What's electricity?
The guy who literally is surrounded by 100 18 to 22-year-olds every single day of his life does not know what a cell phone is.
No, he doesn't know how to change a setting on it. That's fine. That's reasonable. But you're right. Like, I haven't seen too many Ohio State people, like, going. They're not standing for him anymore.
Right, right.
I think it might be a different situation if they had lost a game. Then I think that might switch their minds, but in their brains they're like, okay, we're still okay.
Yeah.
We're still in the national championship picture, so I'm not going to be mad about anything.
Oh, man.
They should just make him do interviews as his punishment. They shouldn't have even suspended him.
Yeah.
It should be like, okay, you should just have to give 5 interviews a week.
Yes.
And talk to a reporter.
And do the soft voice with Tom Rinaldi.
And he was sitting like a weirdo.
Yeah, he was. Just live in a room with a fireplace with Jeremy Schapp 5 days a week.
Hank, that is definitely a PR person. Being like, Urban, make sure you look really meek. You know, don't eat anything for 24 hours before your interview with Tom Rinaldi. Wash your face out. Make sure, don't drink any water. Make yourself look like really meek and a victim here.
Yeah, wear a scarf. maybe dye your hair more gray.
Yeah. Make sure that you don't go get any sunlight the week before so you're pale as a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And then people will love you again.
Yeah.
Sure.
Tom Rinaldi. That was such
crazy.
It was such a weird interview too. Just seeing Urban take that. Go watch if you haven't watched it yet.
Okay, let's get to our hot seat, cool throne. Hank, would you like to start?
Surely. My hot seat is us.
Ooh.
Uh-oh.
What do we do?
Larry, our gambling goldfish, is currently 7-2, and he's sitting in 45th. 7-3, and he's in 45th place.
He's in the money
in the Vegas Super Contest.
All right.
Let's go. So we're going to win $1 million.
We're going to have to pay all the stockholders again, which is something that almost happened in 2016, and we didn't really have a solution for.
No,
so,
don't.
Let's talk it out. Okay.
Here's what I propose we do.
Well, first of all, you can still buy stock. Whatever we say after this, don't have that deter you from investing in Larry. You have until the end of September to buy a shirt.
And we're definitely going to pay you.
And we're we haven't had the discussion yet. Yeah.
But before we do, I'm telling you.
Yeah, yeah. So if you
lie to them.
Yeah, if you buy stock in Larry right now, if you buy a shirt, you get stock in Larry, and then please also fast forward the next 3 minutes of the podcast so you don't hear the conversation we're about to have. what the fuck do we do?
Yeah, otherwise it's insider trading if you're still listening right
true,
now.
True, true.
So you can't do that. Michael Kendricks will tell you all about it.
Yes. By the way, great job by Booger. He was like, Michael Kendricks, what a sack. He's going through everything right now, facing jail time. He's going over all this adversity. It's like, dude, he committed a crime.
Him and Urban
Meyer. That's not adversity.
Him and Urban Meyer are battling through adversity. It's inspirational to everybody.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Shaquille Griffin's out there like making tackles.
Yeah,
or Shaquem Griffin.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Larry issues. I say that we just hire an intern to make a spreadsheet of everybody that's bought a T-shirt. And then have that intern manually write out like a 20-cent check if
okay.
he wins.
Okay, here's the other idea that we had.
Well, if he wins the whole thing, that's a significant amount of
that's
money.
That's a significant amount of money. Here's the other thing we could do. We could buy, I think you can buy insurance maybe? Fraud insurance?
No, fish insurance. Well,
fraud insurance.
We don't call it fraud
insurance. Okay, F insurance.
Yeah.
Or here's what we could also do. I think we threw this idea out there in 2016. We hire a high-priced lawyer, Mr. Portnoy, and his fee matches exactly what our winnings are.
Mm-hmm. His
and
hourly
then we,
rate.
So we're like, hey, we had to hire this lawyer to figure out how to pay everyone, but turns out the lawyer costs so much money, we don't have any money to pay anyone.
Yeah.
Here is a thank you card in lieu of the money.
But
and
the
then
thank
Mr. Portnoy funnels the money right
but
back
the
to
thank
us.
You card is just like a tweet that we send out with a picture
correct.
Of a card for everybody to see. We don't actually send it out.
No, that's going to be way too much work.
Okay.
It's one tweet, and it will just have a fill in the blank. So you can just
you write your name
you can
there.
Say your own name as you read the tweet.
Yeah. And so with Mr. Portnoy, we'll pay him his hourly rate, which will be exactly equal to the winnings. And
correct.
Then we'll enter into an advertising deal with his law firm or his company, Michael Portnoy Esquire.
Yes.
And we'll do an ad read for his law firm on the show. And, oh, it's such a coincidence.
Charge him.
Yeah. But our rate for a podcast ad read is exactly the same as your rate for doing this case for
mm-hmm.
us.
Weird.
Boom.
1 cent less so that people don't figure it out.
Yeah, that's true. For tax purposes.
It's a little different. Yeah. Or we could try to pay everyone. How many people bought a shirt?
Thousands.
Right, yeah. I honestly...
God damn it.
I think that we try to pay people. I think that would be...
The problem... Last year, he was going to come in like 50th place, so it wasn't that much money. If he keeps going at the rate he's going, it's going to be thousands of dollars, so it might be worth it to pay the listeners.
We will pay you.
No,
you
buy the shirt.
We're going to pay you. We're going
to
pay you.
It's like $25 a shirt. You have the chance to get $2,000 back.
Yeah, yeah. We'll pay you.
I'm not a stock guy, but that seems like a pretty good ROI.
Did we put anything in there that we get 50% of it?
I didn't.
We should have. Okay, verbally, we're writing now. If you're listening to this, we get 50% of the winnings, and the other 50% is divvied up. I think that's only fair. I think most people wouldn't argue with that. We're the ones who keep the fucking fish alive until it dies.
Our office manager does.
Yeah.
So maybe our office manager's rate for keeping Larry alive is exactly... Okay. Gotcha.
We're going to pay you guys.
Buy a shirt.
Yes.
Yes, we're absolutely
it might cost a lawyer to figure this whole thing out. We've kind of tangled ourselves in a really nice web here.
What if?
But we're going to pay you.
What if we sold Larry? Like he's like a winning racehorse that keeps dominating.
You studded him?
Yeah. What if there's like a gambler out there that wants to buy Larry from us halfway through the season?
I don't hate it. I don't hate it. All right. Either way, we're going to pay you. Buy a shirt. We're going to pay you.
My cool throne is Christian Yelich.
Oh.
Recurring guest of the show. Hit another cycle again yesterday.
Yeah.
Almost cemented his way as MVP.
Javi Baez. Second in MVP to Javi Baez.
I don't know.
Javi Baez hit a big home run as well.
Two cycles?
Javi Baez does more than cycles.
Ooh. Are we talking steroids?
Yeah, Christian Yelich. A lot of cycles.
Well, he's on the PMT PED.
Yeah, true.
So he's hit
the bump.
Yeah, the big bump. So he's hitting like 400 or something like that after the All-Star break?
People forget he ate butthole that one time. It's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that video. It's definitely him.
All right, PFT, what do you got?
My hot seat is secretly filming people in public so you can mock them on the internet later.
Mm.
So it's a sad day.
Classic.
Yeah, it's everyone's favorite pastime. There was a dude that filmed another guy on a train shaving and was like, oh, my God, New York public transit, am I right? Turns out the guy just got out of a homeless shelter. He was like going to a job interview and cleaning himself up. Trying to better himself.
Yeah.
And so now I guess, Big Brother tells us that we can't make fun of people that we see in public anymore because you never know what they're going through. It's almost like everybody's individuals out there and has their own shit that they're dealing with,
mm-hmm.
so you shouldn't make fun of them.
Yeah.
That was a really tough thing for me to get over.
But did the account get a lot of retweets?
It got a shitload of retweets.
Well, fair.
And then more than that, it got a lot of retweets, and then it got a lot of people on the internet. Basically... when you see these like real life videos that are taken by people, you get everybody commentating on them, like sports analysts talk about a play. Mm-hmm. So you had a lot of people like, oh, look how disgusting the foam. Wait, was that foam, not gel?
Yeah.
Wow.
Gross.
Was this guy a poor?
Yeah.
Turns out, yeah, he's actually just he's very homeless.
But Spin Zone, he probably has a GoFundMe worth like $7 million now, right?
Yeah, double Spin Zone. You might not want to look too far into his past because maybe there's something problematic.
Oh, he's definitely been on Reddit looking at pregnant women.
Yeah, so the internet's just a wonderful place. Bone, We're looking a few plays ahead.
The internet is such a fucking dumpster fire. It's like this is a three-part act every time. Video of guy or woman, then find out that person is going through a lot of problems. Everyone feels shame. Then find out that person also has a picture on their Facebook profile with the Confederate flag.
Yeah, well,
end scene.
Yeah, start a GoFundMe, give them $5 million. Then they end up donating that to, like, the KKK. And you're like, oh, shit, we did it.
Fuck.
The internet got us. We should just invent a new internet, like Brett Favre did.
Just never tweet.
Or Fred Smoot.
All right, what's
internet 2.0.
What's your cool throne?
My cool throne is the color brown. Because Color Rush is back.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Jets and the Browns, which at the start of the season, maybe last offseason, you saw that pop up on the schedule, and you're like, oh, no, this game sucks. Turns out the Browns fixed it because they invented neon brown for their jerseys.
Yes.
Their jerseys are sick. It's the brightest brown I've ever seen in my life.
Okay, can I counterpoint you?
Please don't.
That game is going to suck because Pupunk is House of Blues, Boston. You should go to that instead.
Good point. Yeah, if you live in Boston, come out to the show. I'll give you score updates during the game.
There you go.
How about that? So
there you go.
You'll feel like you're not missing anything. Tell me which players you have on your fantasy team, and I'll give you updates. Oh, Carlos Hyde just had another 3-yard run.
Mm-hmm.
His 20th
no
of the night.
A fuck. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Thursday night, House of Blues, PFT, Roan, Frankie Borelli, and
Robbie Fox.
I was going to get it. You didn't have to do that because now it looks like I forgot
it does
who
look
was
bad.
The fourth member.
They're it's all good for me, though.
House of Blues, Pup Punk. Check them out. Buy a ticket. It's we did it. They did it in New York, and it was such a fun night. It is such an awesome time.
I think if you get the Heritage Room, is that what it's called?
Sure.
I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
If
you're giving away free stuff, do it.
If you do that, if you buy that ticket, then we're going to do like a meet and greet before
great.
The show. Yeah.
Great. Perfect.
So we'll see you there.
Yeah. See you there. And, okay, so my hot seat, cool throne. My hot seat is Jason Witten. So are we sure Jason Witten is still alive?
Well, I don't think he ever was alive, so I take umbrage with the word choice you used.
Okay.
He's not alive currently.
He is a robot.
Yes.
And I do not understand why they overthink these things so much and just not put Booger McFarland in the studio. You could actually hear Booger McFarland getting mad at Jason Witten during the broadcast because they did that thing where the safety, where the Bears touched the punt and then the Seahawks guy grabbed it and they're like, how's that not a safety? And Booger McFarland was like, you guys, you don't know the fucking rules to the game.
Yeah.
And Jason Witten, I don't know. I mean, maybe this is actually just a plan by Tony Romo, like one last act of Jason Witten to bail out Tony Romo. Just he becomes an announcer and everyone takes the heat off of Tony Romo.
That might be it. He's the security blanket for Tony.
Correct.
Yes,
one last time.
That might be right. I agree that Booger is probably the best part of that broadcast. I like Tessitore, too. I
think Tessitore's got big game voice.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Straight up.
I like Booger's platform. I'm on record. I really enjoy the platform.
Like the name Booger?
He wears a seatbelt on his platform. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
That is cool. Safety first.
Yeah, but yeah, Jason Witten is just... Here's the flow chart. They had a bunch of people that ESPN interviewed, I'm sure, including a bunch of people in-house, like Booger, like Louis Riddick.
Mm-hmm.
But then the disruptor is there a newly retired white Dallas Cowboys player?
Yes.
Yeah, and that set off all the alarm bells, and they're like, yep, okay, we need this. We found our guy.
I do like, I noticed, too, that the broadcast are going to the booth more often with video cameras just to show us that Jason Witten is, in fact, a human being.
Yeah.
It's nice. There was like 6 or 7 times they're like, hey, why are we watching this? We're missing the game. Oh, they just want to make sure everyone knows it's not a robot. The robot takeover has not started. Jason Witten, human.
I'm still not convinced, though, even when they show him.
Because
he's
so awkward.
He just moves like at his neck.
Oh, my God.
I'll say this about Jason Witten. Let's say something nice about him.
Okay. His hair looks better.
It's new. He has new hair.
Yes.
Which is great. He would make an excellent sex bot.
Mm.
I'm sure that women would like to buy a Jason Witten sex doll.
Agreed.
Right?
Agreed. And also that one time that his helmet came off, he kept running.
Yep, that's true. Hank gave me a look when I made the sex bot comment. He's a robot.
You wouldn't fuck
a
sex bot,
like,
Jason Witten?
He's like
a hole's a hole, dude.
He's like a 6'5", big sex bot looking guy.
You wouldn't? You wouldn't cuddle up on that thing?
It's okay. Like a blockhead.
Oh, wow. Yeah, pretty homophobic of you, yeah, Hank.
Interesting, Hank.
My cool throne is Mario Kart. So Mario Kart, the game that you loved if you grew up in the 90s, was trending on Twitter on Tuesday. Why was it trending? Well, it's because Stormy Daniels said that President Trump has a penis shaped like a mushroom top, like that toad guy from Mario Kart. That was what she said.
Yep.
That's her new book coming out. I love, there's nothing better than a salacious book that probably is absolutely terrible, incredibly boring, but then they get that two sentences that they put out in the press like a mm-hmm. week before. You got to love those.
Yeah, what else is going to be in Stormy Daniels' book besides her fucking Donald Trump?
Well, they basically just gave us the best moment.
Yeah.
The Mario, the toad penis. Mm-hmm. And then the other one that they gave was that Donald Trump is so obsessed with sharks, even when he was talking to Hillary Clinton in 2007 on the phone, he was just like enamored with Shark Week.
Yeah.
Which, cool being down with sharks, being a fan of Shark Week, although 2007 it was still hot.
Yeah, it's a different time.
Still hot.
I think that priorities. Absolutely still played back in 2007. So his dick looks like the pictures that you take of Joe Buck and Mike Florio on television, where it's just like a giant head at top
mm-hmm.
that gets tiny and tiny, tiny.
But is that bad?
On. No, I think she said he has a smaller than average penis with a giant...
I don't like this penis shaming.
Listen. She said he has a smaller than average penis with a giant head. I think... If you're getting your dick described and anyone uses the term giant anywhere within
anything.
five sentences
yes.
of them talking about
agreed.
Your dick, that's a win.
Right. There's so, if you have any part of you, like it's like being a one-tool, like a great rebounder in the NBA. You can't shoot, right. but everyone's like, hey, man, that guy is a great rebounder.
Right.
You got one thing that people note and say, hey, that was big.
Yeah.
Everything else was small, but that was big. The head of the penis, huge.
The Yeti pubes, I think, is probably the more damaging part.
Yeah, you got to clean up the pubes.
Got to trim
up. Although, again, 2007, different time.
Maybe it's just
different time.
He's got a comb over down there.
Different time, though. 2007, people weren't manicuring their pubes yet.
Pubes were in back
in 2007.
Yeah, they
were. Okay, let's get to our interview with Nate Burleson. Before we do that...
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
And
hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
And finally,
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, here we go. Nate Burleson.
All right, we now welcome on a very special guest. He is, I'm going to say it, your media darling. It is Nate Burleson.
I'll take that.
Wide receiver, former wide receiver, now host of Good Morning Football and going to be the pregame host on, or one of the hosts on CBS, correct?
Yeah, CBS with Boom, Phil, Coach. And JB.
Wait, who? Okay. Coach Cower?
Coach Cower.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could tell the way you said coach.
Well, coach, that you kind of tell, Cower. Right?
Yeah.
What
yeah,
coach
yeah.
is talking
Cower,
about.
Coach.
Yeah. Which
so
is weird.
Do you think Media Darling's fair?
Yeah, it's fair. It's fair. I've been at it a few years, but when you move to New York, doors start to open up a little bit differently out here, man. The grind is something that if you can wake up and hustle with New York, man, you can go get this money out here. And there's a lot of opportunity, as you guys know.
Do you feel that there's any additional pressure knowing that Get Up is on ESPN now, and so they're like nipping at your heels? You got Mike Greenberg.
Nah.
Or you got Nate Burleson, two of the coolest guys in sports media.
Yeah, our names usually fall in the same sentence oftentimes. Listen, all respect to them. You know, I grew up watching ESPN. Mm-hmm. for what it's worth, you know, they wanted to bring a morning show to New York. And if you look at the color scheme, where they're at, how the desk is laid out, mm-hmm. it's somewhat of a copy of what we've done. So that's like the biggest form of flattery. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everything's copied at this point. There's nothing new under the sun. We're not reinventing the wheel here.
Kyle Brandt copies us all the time.
All the time. Mm-hmm. He steals all, time. All your jokes.
Trigger, same thing.
Exactly, same
literally
thing.
Literally just reads our Twitter feed, and that's
and
his
And then
whole
he repeats
homework.
It on the show. Yeah. And he acts like he's a genius. But that's the same thing. We see them, and we understand that we're doing something right. When there's morning shows moving to New York, and they got the bright, vibrant colors, and there's a black guy, two white dudes, and a girl, you're like, okay, that kind of looks like us.
That's the formula. Okay.
It's like Bizarro World Kramer.
That's exactly what it is.
Like Seinfeld when they walk across the street.
That's exactly what it is. Is Kay Adams going to stop watching football?
No. That was kind of a weird statement. Shout out to Michelle Beadle, though.
I like Michelle, though.
She was like, I'm not watching college football or NFL football. She just said, I'm leaving it all alone.
Yeah.
But, it's weird, though. I would love for whoever I'm watching on TV or listening to in a podcast or on radio to be in tune to the games.
Who's your least favorite co-host on that show?
My least favorite co-host, I would say Kyle Brandt.
Okay.
Ooh, because he is somewhat of a genius, mm-hmm. and he's crazy intelligent and funny. So, like, very admirable work that he does, but oftentimes he pushes me to kind of come with my game. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll get ready for segments, and we'll walk past each other at 6 a.m., and I'm like, yo, so what are you going to do for making a case when we got to argue for these AFC quarterbacks? He look at me and be like, don't worry about it. And we won't know what each other's saying until we get on the set, which is why we always laugh so hard, because we never tell each other what we're going to talk about.
Uh-huh.
So I hate him because he makes me have to come with my A game every day. I can't slack, because if I slack, it's obvious. Then I'll be another football player up there looking lame, just talking about stuff you can Google.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, well, listen, Odell can
the
run
Schrager,
the
we call that the Schrager.
We'll call that Schrager. Yeah, we'll call that the vanilla, if you will. And Schrager is vanilla. but no, I think what makes this show special is, like, we're competitive. I don't think people realize that. Like, it's not all fluff. If you watch us on mute, you'll be like, man, they're over-exaggerating. They're the loud family at the restaurant being obnoxious. But when you actually listen to us, like, we're really trying to be creative as hell. We're talking about movies and music and pop culture and every little stupid piece of trivia we have in our head. And then we tie it to football, which I think that's a winning formula. And you see a lot of shows trying to do that formula right now.
So how's it going to be different going to from that to Coach Cower, the chin,
right,
intimidation,
the chin. Right.
Boom, Jack Boomer, Esiason, like,
and CBS in general.
In CBS in general.
Yeah, it's different. I mean, I spent my last year, which was really my rookie year with the CBS crew, so it was fun. It was kind of like getting to know them, and obviously being a rookie, I look at it like being a rookie in football, so I couldn't really do too much. I was once told by an OG when I was a Minnesota Viking, listen more than you talk, keep your eyes open, and be careful of the company you hang around, because that can forever change you. So I've always taken
that
with
me. Chris Carter?
No, that was
John Randall.
Who was
that?
It
was not Randy Moss.
No. It was Marcus Robinson, actually.
Okay, okay.
One of the wide receivers. And he was basically trying to explain to me, when you first get in, just see the lay of the land. Like, don't be a loudmouth. You know what I'm saying? It's like the first day of school or the first day in jail. I don't know if those two things actually go together.
So you
got
to punch Bill Cower in the chin.
Yeah,
I got to
come in right away. Hey, don't touch my cornbread, fam. You know what I'm saying? Like,
because
if you do, we're going to have problems. Uh-huh. But I did spend the rookie year, though, just paying attention. And right around the middle of the year, I caught my rhythm. And I started using some of the dumb jokes I use on a normal, everyday basis. Started injecting more of my personality. And then by the end of the year, I caught up rhythm. But I can't tell you this, though. There's going to be a surprise to the intro of this year for CBS. I'm doing a little rap. So it's like I put together a little rap. We had a producer. We shot a music video.
Okay.
It's going to be like the intro to the season kickoff.
Nice.
I'm spitting bars about my co-host. You know, I do a little something.
I like that. All right. So you mentioned the Vikings. Let's talk a little about your playing career. So you did have Randy Moss as a teammate to start.
Yeah.
Did he actually give you any advice, or was he just like, I'm going to go out there and catch passes and do my thing?
See, word on the street is that when Chris Carter was there, he was one of those guys, like, I'm here to work. I'm not here to bring every single young player along. Randy Moss, he had a little bit of that to him, but he had more of a big brother element to him as well. He didn't want to be as much of a big brother, I can tell, but once you kind of annoy somebody enough and pull on their coat jacket, they oftentimes just kind of give in. And that was him. He wouldn't automatically, if you're a rookie, he wouldn't automatically bring you along and take you under his wing, because rookies are going like that, and rookies don't care about the game. Randy Moss was passionate. Like, uber emotional when it came to the game. If you didn't display that same type of passion, there was a certain disdain he had for you. And I didn't really understand that. Like, why is Randy Moss so quiet? Like, why is he not talking to us? Like, I want to be his friend. This is the coolest dude on earth. This is football Iverson. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, we're running at conditioning at training camp, and Jermaine Dupri had a video with a Marshall 88 jersey on. So I'm like, all right, this is my way in. This is the way I could be his friend. I'm going to say, I just saw the video. Yo, he has your jersey on. And it's basically like the icebreaker. So I'm like gearing myself up. Like, all right, Nate, don't blow this. All right, uh-huh. This is going to be your best friend for life. And I go up to him, and I'm like, as we're running, I'm like, hey, Randy. My voice wasn't that light, but that's kind of how I felt inside. I was like, did you see the new Jermaine Dupri video? He had your jersey on, man. And Randy looked at me and just kept jogging. Didn't say anything. I was like, fuck, I blew it. Yeah. I don't know if I can cuss, but
no,
fuck,
can.
That's what I said in my head. And I was so mad at myself. I was like, Nate, oh, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. You blew it. Now he's never going to be your friend. And then I realized, stop trying to be his friend in ways that don't matter. Like, you don't need to be cool to Randy. Be a playmaker with Randy. And that's what was special about our relationship. Once I earned his respect on the field, he finally was like, all right, kid, let me show you how to be a pro. Mm-hmm. And from there, he gave me some jewels that I continued to pass along when I got in the league. And by year 11, I was doing the same thing. And I was helping these young pups out to the point where some of these rookies were like, Nate, I don't want to offend you, but I feel like you're leading me down the wrong path. And I was like, why would you say that? I've given you everything. I've invited you to my house. I've given you money if you needed it. I've given you all the tricks of the trade at the line of scrimmage. I've taught you how to learn the playbook. They're like, yeah, but I feel like there has to be a dead end to this. Like, why, if you know that I'm here, like, to compete with you, why would you do all this for me? I said, because you got to pass it forward. Like, mm-hmm. if you do your job, they should get rid of me. That's the way it goes. Mm-hmm. I'm worth too much money. I'm getting older. You're younger. You're cheaper. That's the game. Like, and on top of that, if I give you every tool that you need to succeed, and at the end of training camp, coach says, Nate, you're still our starter, you know how much confidence that instills in me?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, so it's a double-edged sword for you. Like, you're doing good, but also, like, it's a true test of yourself.
Right.
Like, if your counterpart has all the tools and you still beat them out, that's like me going into the season like, okay, I got one more year because I know I still got the juice.
I like that. It's like designing a computer program and then going out and beating it manually like John Henry.
Facts.
Style.
Mm-hmm. I like that. So racing your own ghost in Mario Kart.
There you go. That's actually a better analogy. So if I'm a young slot receiver coming to the league right now, tell me one thing that I need to know about the NFL that I wouldn't know either as a fan or as somebody that just has been playing college football the last 3 years. What's like a small thing that the casual person doesn't know?
I would say that route running is supreme over every other characteristic of being a receiver.
That's like, good because I'm slow.
And that's all right. Forget the speed. Forget the height. Forget the vertical.
Okay.
Like, forget all these things that you think you need. I think the misconception is you got to be Julio Jones or you got to be as crafty as Antonio Brown. You got to be as big as Calvin Johnson or as fast as Randy Moss. Nah, it doesn't matter. Like, if you're a route runner, like, you can be so deceptive with everything, though. Like, and that's the thing. If you're not the fastest, you can't jump the highest, you're not the strongest, like, your route running has to be so crafty in a way that once you're coming off the line of scrimmage, every route looks exactly the same. And it's not that hard to succeed. And I tell kids that all the time. I don't care if you're white, you're black. I don't care if you're slow, fast. I don't care if you're tall, short. If you want to be a route runner and you're in that, you got to be in that sweet spot. You got to be anywhere from 4.3 to 4.7. You can't be running a 5.5 and get open.
Why are you looking at me when you said that? I'm faster than a 5.5.
No, I was looking at your calves. The calves, they fall right into your shoes.
My calves are my best body part.
I'm just joking.
Thank you.
But I just feel like route running is probably the one thing that will never go out of style.
Okay.
That's the best way to put it.
That's good. Were you offended at all that you weren't invited on the Love Boat?
Actually, I was.
I thought you were invited on the PG one, not the real one.
There you go. See, there's two. There's
two. That's what I thought. Don't try.
Well, I was. See, you know your stuff.
We know about dildos and Fred Smoot. Mm-hmm.
Running through the okra patch.
It's crazy,
Brian
man.
McKinney putting women on the bar. Just
we know.
That was like Rick James back in the day.
We know.
Listen, I was supposed to, everybody's supposed to be on the first boat, and you never really had an idea what was about to happen because they're like, yo, it's going to be the rookie party. They're going to pay for it, and we're going to hang out. You kind of expect that girls are going to get invited. Sometimes it's a bunch of regular girls that people know. Sometimes it's girls that dance in the night.
Yes.
And you know me, I just had picked up a vehicle. And when you're young and you buy your athlete starter kit, which for me was the Cadillac and the fake chain, fake watch, you always want to be in your Cadillac wearing the fake chain, fake watch. So they was like, yo, show up to the facility or at a restaurant and we'll drive you in a bus, a party bus. So I think all the guys met at a restaurant. And I was like, you know what? I want to drive my car because as much as I could drive my car, I never had an Escalade. So I'm like, I'm going to just show up. So I show up a little late and everybody's on the big boat. And I'm like, whatever. I'm not tripping. I'll go to the second boat. So I get on the second boat and they both take off at the same time. Their boat just seems a little bit more active than ours. Like, ours is cool. Like, there's girls over there hanging out, flirting. But we're playing cards.
Yeah.
We got, like, a vegetable platter. Like, we're talking about football.
Little hummus.
Yeah. It's tame. And I'm like, this is because I haven't been to a rookie party. It's my sophomore year in the league. So I'm like, this is how rookies party? This is it? This is what all the hype is about? But then I'm looking at the other boat, strobe lights popping off. You see people throwing items of clothing off into the water. And then one of my boys comes and is like, yo. And I'm like, what's up, man? He's like, man, it's going down over here. I was like, what? And I'm like, yo, hey, captain, you got any life vests? I'm trying to. And then we dock. And after that, I get home and I'm like, that was cool. A little bit overhyped for my liking. And then we get back home. And what's crazy is I go to the library to go talk to kids about just, you know, giving everything you got to academics as well as athletics, handing out awards, just trying to do my part in the city. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Young mate doing his thing in the community.
Yeah.
And I get done, and I'm sitting there with my family about to hop in a limo and head home. And the reporter, this dude, comes up, is like, he sets me up. He's like, hey, Nate, what's going on, man? It's great you're doing this, man. The Minnesota Public Library. And how's it going? And he's like, I'm like, it's going great. You know, I'm here for the kids. Nate love the kids. Blah, blah, blah. Second question. He's coming with the heat. I'm like, yo. He's like, so we heard that you were on a boat. Are you on a boat? What's going on the boat? It's all kind of chaos. I need answers. Who was there? Was it Dante Culpepper? Was it Randy Moss? I was like, whoa, man. Yeah. In front of my wife, fam? Nah. Yeah. And I was like, yo. No, I wasn't there. I don't know what you're talking about. And I left. And then from there, I'm like, that happened in a day. I'm like, yo, this is much, like, what happened on that other boat? Like, this is crazy.
Fred Smoot happened.
Yeah.
A lot of action happened.
Fred
Smoot. And from there, that's when the hit the fan. And I was like, yo, I remember Coach walking into a room, a group of guys. And was
Mike
like,
Tice?
Yeah. Mike Tice was like, just giving you guys strong advice. If you feel like you did something that you weren't supposed to be doing, I suggest you get a lawyer. And I was like, damn, ooh, shit just got real. Like, what's going on? And from there, you know, they were throwing names and faces in the paper. And a lot of it was just trying to throw darts at a wall and just trying to land on a big name. Mm. A couple of guys might have been in a position where they did something they weren't supposed to do. But all in all, I feel like it was one of them things. If it was a private party somewhere at somebody's house or at an event and it was like enclosed, I think it would have been like anybody else having an adult night in the city.
Right.
But because it was on
a boat,
the waters of Lake Minnetonka.
Just cleanse yourself.
Prince. You know, I think it caught fire. But it was definitely a learning lesson. I was like, damn, man, like we're in Minnesota. We're not winning right now. Like this isn't like the biggest team in the country, but this story is going viral.
It didn't make you guys like, viral. You guys rallied a little bit after that, right? You went
did.
On a little winning streak?
Yeah, of course. I mean, Coach knows how to spin it. It's us against the world.
Yeah,
all right?
Exactly.
They won't even let y'all party.
Yeah.
Go out there and kick some ass. And now we're, you know, playing
They don't
better.
Want you to have double-sided dildos.
Did anyone call you?
See, I don't know about the double-sided
dildos.
Yeah,
because you're Prude Nate. Did anyone call you Prude Nate?
No, they didn't call
you
me Prude Nate.
You should probably start calling you Prude Nate.
That's what they should call me?
Prude Nate.
I don't like that. They call me Nasty Nate because I want that cocktail food.
Nasty Nate would have been on boat
Nasty Nate would have brought his own butt plugs.
Eating the hummus with the, little, you know, carrot
little
and
carrot
and
cake,
spread.
You know?
Yeah,
but you know what's crazy is, like, I remember being on that boat, and I'm a sophomore in the league, and I was kind of like, all right, I want to be a vet. I want to make sure guys are all right. So I just kind of walked around the whole time. Like, you good? You good? Hey, no, too much drinking. Just drink some Gatorade. Like, don't do this. Don't do that. And, like, having that big brother mindset, kind of like what we talked about in the beginning, quite frankly, it kept me out of trouble because I never sat down. I never wanted to be in a position where, like, hey, let me get a dance or let me flirt with you. Like, I kept my nose clean, kept my hands off the goods, if you will.
Mm-hmm. You and Chris Cluey were just playing Guitar Hero together in the corner.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. There was no guitar hero back then.
So you played in that. I remember, I'm not sure if you played in the game or if you were injured at the time, but you were involved in
the Romo?
The Tony Romo game.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Put him on the map.
I was on the sideline for that, yeah. I played in that game, and I remember us looking at Tony Romo getting ready to take the snap. I'm thinking, damn, man, we lost this game. This is weak. I can't believe this. And he fumbled that snap.
Ball was shiny.
Hell, it was greasy.
Yeah.
It wasn't the K-ball, right?
And I was
they changed the rules after
shiny.
That. They're like,
yes. But you know, it's crazy. I was, for the first time ever, watching an opposing player make a mistake, I felt bad. I don't know if I'm sensitive, but like in my head, as we're celebrating, I see him on the ground collapse. Oh. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking in my head, they about to light this dude up. And I knew for years to come.
Well, no, like, because Twitter wasn't Twitter. It would have been unbelievable.
Just in general, like the media. Yeah. Like,
yes.
And he wasn't going to be able to shake it. Unless that's one of them things you can't shake unless you win a Super Bowl. Luckily, he had that season, I think it was in 2014, where he was almost MVP.
Yeah, he was unbelievable.
So, like, that saved it. But I think if he'd ever, like, got to that point, that would have always been looming over.
Yeah, I definitely think it affected his career. Like, it was always in the back of his head. Like,
well, it was because he sat there.
Yeah, he sat there and thought about it.
Sit there for a little bit. Remember that picture of him just sitting there, collapse. Like, hunched over?
He just got up and be like...
Yeah, it wouldn't have... I don't think it would have, like, resonated as much.
And then wasn't also a game when he came out was like, that's my quarterback?
Yeah. I think that might have been early... The next season, when they had a bad game and T.O. just kind of had a meltdown. But also on that same play, like, Tony Romo was about a half step away from just running it in.
Scoring.
Like,
he was Jordan really Babineau, our safety, tripped him up last minute.
Yeah, never give up, kids.
Who's your favorite quarterback you played for?
I would say Dante Culpepper.
Yeah.
Just because it was the first one. It's like...
He's swaggy.
Swagging. He was impressionable. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I was impressionable. So, like, he left an impression on me. And at that time, this is 2003, the economy was good, money was up, guys were spending like crazy, probably a little bit too recklessly. But I remember pulling up and you seeing the spinners and guys had 20 TVs inside their car. And I'm like, yo, this is crazy. I'm talking about mink jackets. Now, this is Minnesota. It get cold out there. You got Pep and Moss walking in with Meeks dragging on the floor like it's a big time video. And I'm like, yo, this is crazy. I got to step my game up. But yeah, and he was like, he's from Ocala, Florida. So like, he thought he was great at everything. Like, I never met a dude that, like, anything, pick up sticks, or do kickball, baseball, basketball, soccer, tennis, ping pong, badminton. Like, if you said one thing about competing, in his head, he was number one. And at first, I was like, man, that's just him being overly competitive. But then I realized, in order to play in this league, you got to be delusional about yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to be, because everybody's so damn good. Like, you have to feel like you're number one. Mm-hmm. And, like, that was his edge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who was your favorite coach you ever played for?
Oh,
it wasn't
Mike Tyson is definitely on that list.
Yeah. Interesting.
Because
he always had the pencil, right?
He was a player's coach, and I remember he played hip hop. He'd come out with the pads on, talking shit like, "Yo, I'm about to, hey, yo, if that opposing coach want action, I'm gonna give him action." Like, he wasn't really gonna fight, but in our heads, we're like, "Yo, you gonna fight the other coach?" Uh-huh. I was going down, and he also like always played mafia movies before the games. Like,
really?
Yeah.
Like what was his favorite one?
What was Now You Just Can't Leave? What was that?
Oh, Bronx Tale.
Yeah. Like, and that was one of our favorites. Like, when we played at home, it was like, you know, they gonna come in and they gonna dish us the night before the game. They gonna disrespect us. All right, hit the lights, play this clip. We sit back, and I've seen the movie before, but in that context though, like, I got it. And then when we got on the field, that's how we felt. Like, we literally felt like we were locking the doors behind them. It was like, click. Click, it's time to kick some ass.
So Mike Tyson is just a regular dumb fan, is what you're saying. Because I play that clip too and being like, no, you can't leave. We got him.
But that was it. He kind of walked around like that, though. Mike Tyson walked around like the Soprano, though. He's a boss, big dude.
Yeah.
And he's a player's coach. Like, he'll walk up to you, hey, how's your dad doing? How's your mom? How's your kids? And know them by name like that. That means a lot. Because oftentimes, you guys know, in the workplace, you know, you've got people you work with that you love, that you ride with, that you go kick it with. They don't necessarily know much about you outside these doors. Like, Mike Tyson, he knew about you and he cared about you. And in turn, like, that made you want to, like, play for him and fight for him. Mm-hmm. You know, and I had good coaches after that. But when you're young and you're trying to figure out, like, what is the NFL? What is this league? Like the ones you first meet, those are the ones that leave a lasting impression.
Yeah. How much of a motivation was it when you're going out there in Minnesota onto the field and you see Ragnar ride his motorcycle out there?
Badass.
That was pretty badass. Yeah. I mean, speaking of Ragnar, look at the hair, man.
There
I
you
mean,
go.
You know, you can go get like that Thor, spot, baby. I think
like
it's,
Thor, yeah.
It's available.
Ragnar wanted $2 million, yeah, right?
Yeah. No, he wanted like a 17-year deal, $1 million a year.
Okay, I'll do it for 16, and and $900,000 a year.
That's what I'm saying.
Undercut Ragnar.
That's a perfect deal. He tried to pull a Khalil Mack, and it was like, "Nah, fam, you're not Khalil Mack."
When you blow that horn, does it actually like is somebody actually blowing into the horn to make that noise?
Yeah, I think it is right by the microphone. But Ragnar was dope though because he'd come out on that motorcycle, and vroom vroom. Mm-hmm. And when I played there, I was in the Metrodome, so it was like carpet, like turf carpet when I first got there. So you running fast as hell. It's like taking your socks off and racing somebody in your backyard. Like that's how fast the turf was. But when you land on it, it's scraping all the skin off you. You know what I'm saying? Like the robots and iRobot. But like I feel like that place was so intimate because the fans are just on top of you. And like once you had a big play, like you would hear the stadium get so loud that like the audio would go out. And then once they calm back down, it'll pop back on like deafening sound. And there's only a few places in the league that were ever like that for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about original Pizzagate?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So what happened?
So I have a great game against the Washington Redskins. A great game.
Our words.
And I'm balling, doing my thing. It's like one of my best games as a Detroit Lion. We beat up on them, and I'm feeling myself, right? We go back home, and I'm in Detroit. I shoot a video with what's my guy?
Kid Rock.
No, Mike.
Pilanabiza. Mike Posner.
Mike Posner, my guy, right?
Buried in Detroit.
Yeah, very Detroit. Detroit. So we in there. We're in Detroit. We're doing the video. I'm in the middle of the stadium. I'm like, yo, this is like the perfect weekend. You know what I'm saying? It's Monday. Then I go to Happy's Pizza, which shout out to my guy Happy. He owns a whole bunch of pizza chains out there. So we're over at his place.
Is it Detroit style?
Detroit style. You got whatever you want.
That's right. Nice Detroit style is good.
Detroit style is underrated. Underrated crust.
Right.
Yeah, Greek pizza.
Right?
Tell me about it.
A lot of marinara. So it's tomato sauce is heavy and strong on there. So we're eating, relaxing. You know what I'm saying? We're drinking. We watch the game. And then after the game, I'm chilling. I'm like, I don't want to do nothing. I'm going to just let the liquor relax and subside. So I keep eating, hydrate. And then I'm like, yo, I'm going to take all this food home. He's like, yeah, go ahead. So I put all this food in my passenger seat. And then there's a hookah spot right on this road before I go on the freeway. This is after I done sobered up. I go to the hookah spot, see my young dudes that all play with this hookah. They're like, yo, Nate, what's up, bro? We didn't know if you were going to come this weekend. What's up, bro? Let's take a shot. I'm like, nah, let's take a shot. I'm like, nah, look, I can't because I'm about to drive home, bro. I'll come through tomorrow. I promise y'all. They're like, yo, every time you come, you take a shot. I'm like, I do, but it's late. I'm already sobered up. Let me just hop in the car. That saved me. I promise you that saved me. I get in the car. I'm driving, and it's late, and I'm gassing the freeway, driving with my knees, playing the new Drake, Take Care album. So I'm playing with the auxiliary cord, driving my knees. I'm looking up, and then I look up for a third time, and I'm pushing up on this van, like this gray van. And as I get close to it, instead of just braking, I do like this. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I could brake. This food is gonna go everywhere, and I had a little Yukon that I had tricked out. And in my head, I'm like, I'll just yank the wheel. So I yanked the wheel, and then I'm headed towards the embankment. And I'm like, all right, not really panicked though. I'm like, I'm good. Let me correct it. I yanked the wheel back right, and I'm like, yo, damn, what is going on? And I'm headed down towards the opposite side of the freeway. And then I'm like, all right, I got one more chance. I yank it again. And I'm headed towards the medium, the concrete medium. And I'm like, the car starts to straight up like this. I'm like, oh, I'm good. Oh, no, I ain't good. And then boom. And I'm holding on to the steering wheel like this. This hand slips off. This hand stays on. I tense up and lock up. So I get out. My passenger side door was completely crushed. And I'm like, all right. Am I all right? I'm tripping. I look for the van. The van's gone. I don't even know where it is. I'm like, was that
a ghost van? Yeah.
Was it a ghost van? I don't know. So then
it's coming
I get
for
out.
A pizza. It was the Noid.
It's the Noid. Shout out to the Noid. I get out on the other side. So now I'm like this. All right. I'm a little sore. I'm like, let me check my money makers because this is where it's at. Check my days. I'm like, I'm good. You know, I banged them up against the front of the vehicle, but I'm good. And I'm like, all right. I'm looking at my sweater. I got a little blood. I'm like, okay. I busted my nose on the emergency bag or whatever it is. So I'm like, all right, let me check my hands. And this one's going like this. 1,000 miles a minute. My right hand is going 1,000 miles a minute. My left hand is going extremely slow. And I'm like, that is odd. Why would that be happening? So then I'm like, shucks. I slide my sleeve up. My bones on either side, both sides of my wrist, displaced by about an inch. Not protruding, though. But I can see I just broke my arm.
Mm-hmm.
So out loud, there's nobody here around me, of course. Single car accident. And I'm like, damn, I just fucked up our season. That's exactly what I said to myself. Because at that point, me and Matt Stafford had a crazy rhythm. Mm. I think in the preseason and then leading up to that Washington game, we were leading the NFL in quarterback and receiver percentage. And we had such a good rhythm that when Matt dropped back, he's looking for Calvin, he knew exactly where I was going to be. And I was going to come down with it. I can go. I got a 40-inch vertical. Like, throw it up over the middle. You want me to go in traffic? You want me to go on the outside, light up these dudes, catch a reverse, I'll do whatever. And I knew that that was going to shake up our season so bad that we wouldn't recover. And, you know, this is like the ups and downs and roller coaster rides of how, like, crazy things are. So in my head, I'm like, I'm completely depressed. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to be back on the field. All these starts that run through my head is probably the last time I put on Detroit jersey. This is crazy. And then this dude pulls up. And, like, this red Charger, and this black dude with braids, he's like, all right, you good, bro? You good? I'm like, yeah, I'm good, fam. And I'm on the phone, like, calling the team and calling, you know, my wife and everybody. You good, fam? You good? I'm like, yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good. He's like, oh, snap, Nate Burleson, is that you? I'm like, yeah, what's up, man? Yeah. He's like, you straight? I'm like, yeah, I'm good, man. The police are coming down their way. He's like, okay, cool. I will right around, but, you know, I got some warrants. And I'm like, that's the most Detroit thing. Yeah. You could have just said, he sped off. Police come. The officer asked me a question, like, what happened? I told him I was driving. I swerved the car. I thought I was going to hit it. And I didn't want to spill everything. And then he looks, and all of that food is just smashed. Like, barbecue sauce, marinara sauce, and ranch all on the bottom of the floorboard.
Barbecuffalo.
Oh, yeah, no. So he's like, and then he stops, and he asks me again. And you can still hear the Drake playing. And, you know, nothing's sadder than Drake singing to you after a car accident.
Yeah.
It's one thing to be drinking and thinking about upset. Your ex.
Yeah,
yeah, but
and pizza everywhere.
But him just harmonizing to you, like, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, you done fucked up. Nah, that's what I'm thinking in my head, and I'm like, yo, this is crazy. And then he asked me a few more times. He realized, like, my story's not going to change. And we get there. You know what's so crazy is that I get to the hospital. At this point, they're taking my arm in this harness, and they're trying to reset it. So they're pulling the top of my wrist up while holding the bottom of my arm stable so they can reset the bones and get it ready for surgery the following day. And the nurse who was doing it was a guy with a Green Bay Packers nurse cap on.
He's going to fuck it up.
Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say he was trying to hurt me, mm-hmm. but he definitely was taking joy in the fact that I was in pain.
Yeah.
Even so much so, he said, hey, man, listen, I know this is kind of a bad time for me to tell this joke, but I'm so glad you're not going to be playing this year. And I'm like, bro, like, this isn't like a guy at a bar and we're talking fantasy, bro. Like, my life is over right now.
Right,
like,
right.
Come on, man. Like, enough of the jokes. And then he's like, all right, well, all right, we got to pour blood, you know, just make sure you weren't drinking. I was like, no, I was drinking early in the night, but I haven't had any drinks in hours. And he's like, yeah, but we still got to pour blood. And I was like, do we have to pour blood or do you want to pour blood? I was like, it doesn't matter to me, but like, you're adamant about this. You're the first person that said this. We've been in this hospital for like an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, I just feel like we have to. And I'm thinking to myself, like, what is this dude's agenda right now?
Yeah.
And then the cop comes in and is like, no, we already did the sobriety test. You're good. And the guy's like, but he said, we're good. Dude's like, but.
That's fucking Packer fans for you. Fuck like,
he was probably an owner of the team.
Hate Packer could've fans. Could've been.
But at that point, I was like, oh, this football fandom is real. And I don't blame him. You know? Why not? Get a hot story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Did you ever have people come up and be like, Nate, I got you on my fantasy team? I feel like you were that fantasy receiver everyone had at least once.
Yeah, for sure. And I think my second year when I put up the 1,000 yards, I possibly helped win you your championship.
Yeah, it was just always like, let's grab him.
And then the other years, you're like, damn, Nate, bro, like, what are you doing? Because I had so many injuries that ended my seasons, and like it's like a career unfulfilled. There's part of me that has so much pride that I lasted 11 years, but then there's part of me that's like, what if I was healthy though? Like, I had 41 touchdowns, and basically in my head, I feel like I missed half of my career due to injury.
Yeah,
and you know, you look at some of these young guys and you see similarities. You're like, damn, could I have been like an 80, 90 touchdown dude if I'd have just stayed on the field? But that's the way it goes. Injuries inevitable. Well, I had broken leg, ACL, PCL, MCL, broken nose, broken ribs, separated shoulder, broken ankles, like all these different injuries.
You should drink more milk.
Yeah.
Well, here's a spin zone. You weren't like our mutual friend Tony Scheffler. You didn't have
Tony two coats.
You didn't have his career end when we beat him in basketball, and his confidence was never the same in his driveway.
Yeah, this is true.
We beat him two on one.
Two on one.
Yeah. I mean, so I guess it was kind of.
And Tony got game.
Not that day. Sorry.
I'm going to call him and tell him.
Yeah.
If you ask him, he's like a guy that could have made it to the NBA.
Yeah, he probably actually could. He probably actually could have made Major League Baseball.
Probably could have been a professional bull rider, too.
No,
yeah,
he
could be a rodeo guy.
He mashed in college baseball.
Was he?
Oh, yeah.
He's a beast, huh?
Look up his numbers.
He used to tell people, I'm one of the best athletes on the team, and nobody believed him.
I believe him. I
think it's because he's white.
White
guys don't get enough love when it comes to athleticism.
Right. You just said like a while ago, you're like, it doesn't matter if you're black or white.
Yeah, that was lip
service. Short or tall, slow or fast. And I was like, I'm on the wrong side of all three of these things that he just said.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I have one last question. SeatGeek question. Put in promo code TAKEY at $10 off your SeatGeek purchase. My last question is, Nate Burleson, you played in the NFL. You got hit by the biggest, baddest dudes in the world. You went across the middle. You did all this stuff. Why are you afraid of batting cages?
Damn, that's a good question, bro. I don't know. I don't know if it's a hand-eye coordination thing. I don't know if I just feel like I'm going to catch that one that's high on the inside.
You don't trust it goes straight.
No,
like, no, that's the weird thing about it. Like, I feel like it's going to hit me.
Yeah, so
even
it's a big
at like
phobia.
55 miles per hour, which is fairly slow, right?
Yes.
I'll get in there, I'm nervous, like the back of my knees are sweating, and I'm like, what is going on? And I just can't get it right. Like, it's the hardest thing in the world. Now, I catch a rhythm, and I'll start hitting them, and now I'm feeling myself. But the first moment I walk in there, listen, if you're turning up the 90s, I'm not even going in there. Like, don't even think about it. And don't even put me on the mound. Like, it's the craziest thing ever. I love baseball. I was just terrible when I batted. Terrible. I couldn't hit the ball. And I think that just stuck.
That's a pretty big part
it's
of
like
baseball.
Batting cages and octopuses.
Octopuses too.
Ooh.
Well, now,
I don't know.
You don't like octopuses?
Was it the same
it's the
way?
Worst way to die in the world.
With a
what?
They're the creepiest things ever. Octopuses.
How many octopus deaths are there in
the
Irukandji out in Australia? That tiny one.
We don't know how many alien deaths there are, but we don't want to meet them face to face.
Wait, isn't a batting cage the same thing as just a jug machine? Just a different ball coming out of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I get to catch it and control it at the end. And the jugs ain't coming out that fast.
Give me one sleeper for the season. We'll end with that.
Don't say
the 49ers.
No. One sleeper. And I can't say the Jags because they're not really sleeping.
No,
anymore, right?
Blake Bortles the
one sleeper for the season is the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh,
I like it. I have them too.
Okay, Bradford, of course, he has to stay healthy. David Johnson came on our show. And I said, hey, David, what are you going to do this season? You know, he talks real chill. He's like Michael Jackson when he's 20. He's like, a thousand and a thousand. I was like, wait, time out. What? Your goal is what? A thousand. So casually,
a thousand
bro? So with him, Larry Legend, Fitzgerald, and then Chandler Jones and Patrick Peterson, I think they can do some damage.
All right. Nate Burleson, thank you so much.
Thanks, man.
Best of luck.
I appreciate it, man. Appreciate y'all having me on. I had some fun, man. Let me come on again, man.
We can
talk some craziness.
Yeah.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Chi's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3Chi.com. That's 3CHI.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
The interview was also brought to you by...
No joke, I think I might have a Cane sauce problem. I was at Raising Cane's the other day getting my box combo with extra sauce on the side like usual. I have an order. When I eat my Cane's, it goes crinkle cut fries, chicken fingers, the Texas toast, and finish strong with the slaw. So I start eating, and before I know it, I'm scraping the bottom of my sauce, and I wasn't even done with my fries yet. This habit is escalating, and I'm 100% here for it. Dip into Cane's. Get extra sauce for me, please.
Tea.
I actually had someone hit me up and say they got the trial month, and they already noticed the results. For real.
For real.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
That's the shit.
This beard is looking so
thick.
It is.
Now that you mention it, it's
on.
Looking pretty thick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. Nice.
That's what PFT stands for. Pretty fucking thick.
Ooh. Okay.
With C.
Yeah. Two C's. Three C's.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do some segments. First up, we have a King Stay Kings for Phil Rivers. He was on the Dan Patrick Show on Monday and was asked, are you done having kids? He replied, no. Heck no.
Heck no, man.
We're just getting started.
So, 7 kids and no end in sight.
Mm-hmm. You can't stop.
Pray for his wife.
You can't stop his sperm. You can only hope to contain it. That guy has never looked at a condom.
Oh, man. That, I mean, I like it because I really, really hope that he is just like, I'm going to field my own football team.
Mm-hmm.
11 players.
No, that's absolutely what he's doing. Or he's just, you know, he's just trying to, I think as long as he's having kids, he feels like he can still play football.
True.
So the second he stops firing out children, then he's like, okay, it's time to hang it up.
He's addicted to having kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's, they need to, I would love to see like a VH1 reality television show, Phil Rivers after he retires.
He's going to be the next like 14 and counting.
Yeah, kids
that
everywhere.
Arkansas family, yeah.
Just bolo ties and kids.
Yeah, that's what he does. His sperm are just so freaking accurate.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
He's got that good nut.
He does have the good nut. He's got that unorthodox release.
All right.
I saw that Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's got like 5 or 6 kids too.
Oh, really?
That's a new trend in the NFL.
Race. Yeah.
Yeah. Joe Flacco has 5, and he's going for more.
They got those millions. They're just like, let's just, well, what else are we going to spend it on?
Exactly.
Kids. We have as a white guy, we have no problem with Bert and Ernie's lifestyle if they are gay, but they might not be gay.
Well, why would you say that?
Well, so, because they released a statement. So
Bert and Ernie?
Bert and Ernie released a statement.
No, what happened was the writer for Bert and Ernie said, yeah, I based the characters off of me and my lover, who, and we, you know, we were roommates, and I kind of modeled them after us, and we're gay, and Bert and Ernie, they were lovers.
Yeah. So, but then Sesame Workshop released a statement saying, as we have always said, Bert and Ernie are best friends. They were created to teach preschoolers that people can be good friends with those who are very different from themselves. Even though they are identified as male characters and possess many human traits and characteristics, as most Sesame Street Muppets do, they remain puppets and do not have a sexual orientation.
So they were created to show that people who are unlike each other can get along. They're centrists.
Mm-hmm.
They're radical centrists. They did have a guy's hand up their ass the whole time, though, because they were puppets.
True.
So that points more towards the other one.
I just love that the Bert and Ernie had to do an official press release.
It's the Mike,
saying,
it's a Mike Piazza statement.
Yeah. We're not gay, but there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. I'm, as a white guy, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I just want to say that.
And to point out at the end, they remain puppets. So if you were confused at all, at any moment, if these were actual human beings, don't worry anymore, because they are actually still puppets.
They're
and
puppets.
Puppets don't. Actually, that's what they should have done. They've been like, hey, listen, gay or straight, we don't care, because, you know, everyone, you know, it's 2018, but you guys are now talking about puppets having sex, so you're kind of fucked up.
Mm-hmm. But if that's your thing, that's okay,
yeah,
too,
that's
as
true.
A white guy.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm
as
totally,
a white guy in 2018,
totally
that's true. That's very
My
true.
My question is, were they circumcised? If we're going to get into their personal lives here, let's get into their personal lives.
I bet you they have Yeti pubes.
Yeah. This was actually the perfect day for Bert and Ernie to release a statement just saying, for the record, we have totally normal dicks.
Yes. Nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
Puppet dicks through and through.
Yeah.
Or they're like Barbie and Ken.
Uh-huh.
Ken is dickless. People forget.
Yeah, he's just smooth.
He's a dickless fuck.
Do you think that Toad from Mario Kart has a dick that looks like Donald Trump?
Yes.
That would be something.
Reverse.
Toad's a girl.
Now we're getting into the high. Oh, Toad is a girl.
Is Toad a girl?
I'm pretty sure. Toad is a girl.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Toad is a girl.
That's a pretty good impression.
Toad is. I just Googled Toad is a girl. Toads are genderless race that take on gendered characteristics.
No, but then the water, the fluoride turns
into
homosexual.
No, there's a toadette. There's a toadette.
I've reviewed documents. I've poured through these documents. Listen, big cat.
We've run out of things to talk about when we're at the... Are Bert and Ernie fucking each other, and is Toad a girl or a boy?
Listen, I got on good authority that Toad was scissoring with Tails from Sonic.
Listen, though. Point remains. Bert and Ernie, if you are gay, we love you still the same.
Yeah, what about the twiddle bugs?
We're all
were
God's
they just,
children.
The twiddle bugs that lived in their windowsill were probably just their sperm.
Yeah, what about the little Fraggle Rock piece of shit? What are those guys? Who knows? Everything's up for whatever. I don't... Confused.
Gender's a spectrum.
Yes, gender is a spectrum. Thank you, Mooch. Okay, we have a sabermetrics for John Gruden. John Gruden is never going to be, he's never going to stop asking questions about the Khalil Mack trade. This is now a journalist, like, wet dream. Every press conference John Gruden does, they can essentially say, hey, did you see Khalil Mack? Didn't help that there were 2 national televised games for the Bears to start the season.
Mm-hmm.
But John Gruden was asked yet again, are you worried about the Khalil Mack trade? And he said, no, it doesn't make me regret the trade. We made the trade. You know there's going to be hindsight, 50-50, all that stuff. But we would have loved to have him here. I'm not going to keep rehashing this.
Yeah.
So hindsight's 50-50.
Hindsight's 50-50. Big time football guy move. Yes. Just adding 110% onto everything.
Definitely not what hindsight is.
Mad Dogs 2020. Hindsight's 50-50.
That might be why John
I don't actually understand what hindsight 2020 even really means.
So it's perfect vision. 2020 vision means that if something's 20 feet away, you see it as being 20 feet
after
away.
After it happened, like, of course I shouldn't have bet on Eli Manning in that shitty offensive line on Sunday night. Hindsight's 50-50.
But credit to John Gruden, though. Like,
it actually, you know what? Now that I'm saying it, John Gruden, this statement makes perfect sense because it was such a bad trade. Hindsight is 50-50 for him. He looks back and he still doesn't know why he did it.
It looks like it's 50 feet away.
Yeah, it's all blurry and shit.
Well, also, the Raiders logo, when you look at it, has an eye patch over one eye.
True.
So that screws up the depth chart perception.
Mm-hmm. So he has no idea what's going on.
But credit to John Gruden, though. I think he did a good thing. It's going to go a long way in him recruiting free agents in the future. He traded away his player to a championship contender. And he was like, listen, if I'm going to get rid of you, I'm going to send you to a place where realistically you're probably going to win a Super Bowl next year.
If you come in, we'll make sure that you're in good hands where you go.
You're either going to go to New England or you're going to go to Chicago.
Exactly.
Title towns.
Exactly. We have a not to brag, but we called it. Josh Gordon signed with the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
So
God damn it. Good job, Hank.
All right. I mean, he's going to be really good.
I don't think he is.
Okay.
I hope.
Whoa.
I hope that he does well.
Keep going. No. Put your flag in the sands, okay. PFT. But give us a fucking take.
Okay.
I actually kind of agree with that.
Yeah. Here's my take. Okay. If you can't get your shit together enough to play for the Browns and for the Browns to
that was a promotional video. Promotional videos don't make themselves.
What do you mean?
That's why he got injured, because he was filming a promotional video. They don't make themselves.
That's
you want to just not get promoted?
Well, I don't think that anyone in New England does a promotional video shoot. Bill Belichick has a strict, you're not going to do any advertising policy.
Okay.
I think that if you can't get your shit together enough to like be able to play on the Browns for 6 years, then you're probably not going to be able to play for Bill Belichick.
See, I see it as the total opposite. I think the Browns, like, you don't know what you're doing when you're on the Browns because there's different coaches every year. You lose nonstop. What's going to happen is you can get to the Patriots and Bill Belichick's going to be like, okay, here's what you need to do to succeed and don't deviate at all. And it's pretty fucking clear, and there's no Hugh Jackson calling you, you know, different animal names. The dolphin is swimming. The eagle has landed. It's just straightforward. This is what you got to do. And he's going to figure it out.
It's going to be like one of those movies where a kid's raised by wolves, and then they're put in society. They freak out at first.
Yeah.
And Belichick isn't going to tolerate any freaking out period.
I think the Browns are such a dysfunctional mess. Like, yeah, they're frisky this year, but, I mean, they have been a really big mess, and so a little structure goes a long way.
I hope that he does well, because, I mean, that season...
You're rooting against him. You're a hater. You're a hater. You just said that you hope he relapses.
No, because this way I can have it both ways. If he does well, it's like I was rooting for him.
I think he's
going
to do
well. But if he's wrong, then I don't hope he relapses.
Yeah, you did. You said that.
You just said that.
Wow. Can you believe him?
I hope Josh Gordon lives a long, sober life and has a...
you don't want him to have any fun anymore?
No, I hope he has zero fun in New England.
Oh, okay. You can only have fun if you're not sober, Big Head?
Yeah.
Oh, that's problematic, too. Yeah. Hank, what do you think? Give me your take.
I kind of agree with you. I feel like everyone's saying it's going to be Randy Moss 2.0, but it's like Josh Gordon,
as good as he is, he's not Randy Moss. Randy Moss is the greatest wide receiver of all time, so stop that conversation.
Reggie Wayne didn't play a single game. Like, they signed him. Everyone thought the same thing was going to happen. He didn't even play. Ocho Cinco.
Those guys were at the end of their careers, though. Josh Gordon is still not – I mean, he's not young, but he's
– Everyone keeps bringing up 2013. 2013 was 5 years
ago. Yeah, he did catch a touchdown pass week one.
I think he'll be good. I think it could be – he's either going to be great and it's going to be a one-year thing, and then after the offseason it could fall
apart. I agree.
It's
only going to be 1 year.
Or it's going to be like one game and that's it.
Yeah. He also might freak out playing with a good quarterback for a change.
Mm-hmm.
He's never done that.
Yeah.
Ever.
Well, no Brian Hoyer for that little stretch.
Brian Hoyer had a couple good weeks. Also RG3 in college.
Yeah, actually, Brian Hoyer's on the Patriots, so there's a familiar face for him.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay, perfect. So they'll just actually embrace debate. Should they replace Tom Brady with Brian Hoyer in order to maximize Josh Gordon's talents?
I was saying that Josh Gordon should just go to New England and be like, I'll play here, but I need the number 12.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Brady will switch his number, make more jersey sales.
Shit, I walked right into that.
Galaxy brain.
But either way, yeah, it's a, I mean, it's a big trade. We'll see what happens.
I hope it works out. I truly do. I hope that he proves me wrong.
he's the piece we need to beat the Bears in the championship. Yep. Many people.
No,
many
you're
going to
need
saying that.
You're going to need some defense to stop Mitch.
You're going to need
on.
A lot more than Josh Gordon to beat
someone,
the juggernaut.
Yeah, come on. All right, let's.
Do you guys have a kicker?
Yeah, Cody Parkey, bro.
Okay.
The guy who sounds like he could be a porn star or a Vine star. choose your adventure. He definitely has a Vine star name. Cody Parkey.
Guys on Chicks.
Hey, boys. I don't like being called the usual pet names like Babe or Honey. Do you have any suggestions for what my boyfriend should call me other than my actual name?
Yeah, I got one. But I don't want to give it away because it's a secret. Because it works.
Okay, you got to say it.
Darlin.
Darlin?
Yeah.
Ugh. You say darlin'?
Yeah.
Ugh.
I say darlin' all the time.
Ugh. I'm going to puke.
Yeah.
Darlin'?
Darlin'. No, not darling. Darlin'.
No, I get it. You're doing the southern thing.
Yeah.
Darlin'. Okay. I don't know. Just say, hey, you. Or just,
yeah, that's a good one.
Hey, you, over there. What's up? I don't know. Chicks like to also be called by their last name. It's like one of the bros.
Yeah.
You know? Just say that.
Yeah, it's a, yeah. No, I agree with that.
Yes, absolutely.
Are they just a number?
Darlin', I might not be able to get over this.
Hey, guys, especially Big Cat and his new Twitter, Avi.
Mm.
My roommate has a boyfriend who is a total 11 out of 10 on all levels, but she has been hanging out alone with this other guy a lot recently.
Oh.
Why is she doing this when the new guy looks like a potato? And should I talk to her about it?
The 11 out of 10 has no personality. That's definitely the case here.
Because
let's be honest, anyone can get rock hard abs. Anyone.
Yeah.
Not everyone can be funny.
All it takes to get rock hard abs is to just stop eating.
Yeah, exactly.
I could do it.
It's so easy.
Yeah, you go on a hunt. Mahatma Gandhi probably had just a six pack to next Tuesday. Doesn't mean you want to fuck him.
Yeah. Also, this definitely the person who wrote this in. Just go ahead and fuck your roommate's boyfriend.
Yeah.
It's very clear that's what this question
was.
Yeah,
should
hey, I? Hey, my roommate's boyfriend's. My roommate is ignoring her boyfriend. Can I just fuck him?
Mm-hmm.
Just tell her boyfriend that she's been hanging out with the other guy.
Uh-huh.
Wait a couple weeks. And
yep.
Then
ooh, I like
in.
That. A little sabotage.
Yep. Yeah. Saboteur.
Mm-hmm.
Sup, Big Cat. Sup, PFT and Big Cat with the big tits. My boyfriend and I have been feuding for the last three weekends and seem to feel more like roommates than partners. All he wants to do is watch football and toke bongs and refuses to even spend 30 minutes watching World of Dance with me.
What?
It's the finale.
What is...
Well, that, yeah, it's the finale.
Instead, he stocks up on booze and proceeds to get shit-faced and scream about teams he doesn't care about.
Well, he's gambling. He's gambling. A lot of money.
Sounds like he does care.
Yeah, he cares a lot.
Is there anything I can do?
No. Yeah, wait till February 7th or whatever the fuck that
the Super Bowl's
is.
Over.
Yeah, yeah. You're screwed. Here's what you do. Go look at the football schedule. There'll be like a Friday night where it's USF versus UConn. That's date night.
Mm-hmm.
That's your one date night.
Or just, you DVR your shows and then you trick them like on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Friday night. Be like, oh, look, my show's on. You want to watch them? Those are the nights that should generally be safe from football.
Well,
unless we're in
Maction.
Yeah.
Or start gambling yourself, and that will piss them off.
Mm-hmm.
Just start gambling the opposite side of every one of his bets.
Be better than him at gambling.
Yes.
Actually,
yes.
Guys love that when you beat them at stuff they
follow
care
Larry's
deeply
pick.
About. Yeah.
Larry is a better gambler than your boyfriend. Guaranteed.
My boyfriend says he wants to save money, but bets on every football game.
Yeah.
What do I do?
What's the...
Well, he's actually...
Those aren't mutually exclusive.
Yeah, he's earning money.
Yeah.
Because when you bet, you win.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you need a little economics.
Here's
course.
A little tip for anyone, all of the gamblers out there or people who are, you know, dating a gambler or whatever. The only way to lose is to walk away. So you're never, as long as you're sitting at the table, you still could win.
You can't win if you don't play.
Right.
Sup, boys, especially PFT. My boyfriend put me onto the pod about a year ago, and we're both proud AWLs. Because he knows I'm a fan, he'll work PMT jokes into our day-to-day lives. At first, I thought it was cute. But then this past weekend, I was blowing him, and right before he came, he yelled, drink paint.
That's great. Oh,
and a few minutes later, he asked me how I enjoyed his glossy white.
Oh, my God.
How do I ensure this never happens again? I love the show, but at some point, I think there needs to be a line.
Well, he's listening to this right now.
Mm-hmm.
So just don't do it anymore, dude.
Well, yeah, just.
That's
okay,
it. That's
okay.
It. You're good. You're good. No, we had the conversation.
To the girl, stop listening for a second. To the guy. That's kind of funny.
Yeah, it is
time.
Funny one
but,
time.
But it's not really funny because we can't encourage people to be doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah, just shit.
No, we had the conversation.
Just don't see it anymore?
Yeah, just stop. Appreciate you listening. You're AWL's of the year. If you stop doing it, we will nominate you for AWL of the year.
Yeah.
A made up award.
Yeah, so we need the girl to follow up with us.
Yes.
And make sure that he does stop.
Yes.
What's up, boys? I recently made a deal with my boyfriend that if I buy him playoff Cubs tickets, he has to shave property of Katie, my name, on his head.
What?
To my surprise, he was not at all reluctant to say yes. Should I be worried that my boyfriend is turning into a beta and agreeing to let the world know that I owe him? That
what
sounds
a
like
fucking
a
fucking move by her.
That just sounds like a future, like future him will figure it out.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Just give me the
future him.
Give me the tickets, and then I'll worry about putting it in my head.
But she's kind of got a point. Like, she owns him.
Well, yeah, if that's on your head, but the thing is that she's not realizing, you can shave that into your head and then shave the rest of your head right after.
Don't give away his secret, dude.
Okay.
He fucking figured out a loophole. God damn it, PFT. He wants to go to the Cubs games.
Hey, PMT boys, especially suicidal Big Cats pepperoni nipples.
Oh, I'm back, baby. Don't bring that down on me.
Go Wisconsin.
Bears are a fucking Super Bowl team.
They're wagging.
Sup, boys, especially Bubba Nasty. Sup.
Wow.
Why do girls sweat a lot in some areas but not others?
You talking about your coochie?
It's because you guys don't have as much hair. So if you're a dude,
it's
like...
getting wet, considering sweating?
Yes, that's exactly what it is, Hank. You've learned a lot these
years. It's internal sweat. Yeah, because you get hot.
Yeah, exactly. You got it.
That's the last one.
All right. Yeah. We'll see everyone Friday. We have the return of our good friend Ryan Whitney, plus a very fun interview with author Jeff Perlman talking about his new USFL book. Some wild stories about the USFL. Make sure you tune in. And our gambling picks.
Mm-hmm. I'll see you at Pop Punk Thursday night, Boston. Love you guys.
Talking away, I don't know what I'm to say. I'll say it anyway. Today is another day to find you shying away. I'll be coming for your love, okay? Take on me. It's better to be safe than sorry.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.